Hello and welcome to Spotlight on Asia on Radio France International. I'm Roslyn Hyams. The Seoul District Court at the end of the week sent South Korea's former and first woman president, Park Geun-hye, to jail for 24 years and fined her close to 100 million euros for abusing power and influence peddling. Her close associate, Choi Soon-sil, had been handed a 20-year prison sentence in February this year for her leading role in the affair involving 77.4 billion won, about 60 million euros. When the accusation surfaced about a year ago, people took to the streets to protest against Park en masse. She was impeached. On Friday, however, supporters rallied outside the court to protest against the sentence. Park is the only president in the Sixth Republic of South Korea to have garnered more than 50% of the vote when elected to power. With Cambridge University and Chatham House in the UK, John Nilsson Wright says that while South Korean society is divided over Conservative Park politically, even those who are not her political supporters may be sympathetic to her given the very stiff sentence the court handed down on Friday.
There's an element of irony, in a way, that Park Geun-hye, who came to power in 2013, claiming that she would represent all South Koreans, has had such a sharp and ignominious fall from grace, because she tried, like many South Korean presidents, to speak for the whole country. I think her failings are failings partly a result of overconfidence, really poor political judgment. After all, the beneficiary of these crimes that Park has been now convicted of is not Park Geun-hye, but rather her confidant. And in terms of motive and intent, it's probably fair to say that Park Geun-hye underestimated the extent to which what she was doing was a departure from political norms, not just of the era of her father, but also more recently. And in that sense, I think there's an element of tragedy in this particular case and the human cost for a woman who is, after all, lost the presidency, been impeached, disgraced, and then imprisoned during the court proceedings, now faces the prospect of 24 years in jail. There may be, I suppose, the possibility that a pardon will be issued. Moon Jae-in, I'm sure, will be under pressure to consider that, given the scale of the sentence. But, of course, the larger campaign he has to clean up South Korean politics makes it very difficult for him to do that. And in the course of making that decision, if he does in fact choose not to pardon the president, she herself is going to suffer, perhaps in a way that many people, whether on the left or the right, might see as unduly severe.
No Jun-sung, professor emeritus from Yonsei University in Seoul, is not sympathetic towards Park, but considers that she was manipulated, not only by her alleged mentor and close childhood friend Choi, but also by Choi's father, who died in 1994 and who's been described as a Rasputin figure in Park's father's life.
She controlled her so that she could get millions of millions of dollars from Samsung multinational companies. And, the former ambassador to Korea, Herbert, reported to U.S. government saying that former President Park Geun-hye is totally controlled body and soul by Choi Tae-min. He is the father of Choi Soon-sil.
You're listening to Spotlight on Asia on RFI with me, Roslyn Hyams. The former head of state, Park, is the latest among five former South Korean presidents to be accused of corruption. But she was also found guilty of giving orders to silence her critics. Nilsson Wright acknowledges that there's been a culture of corruption in South Korean politics. The presiding judge who pronounced the sentence on Park said it was particularly tough in order to prevent such a thing reoccurring. Clearly, the institutions or some of the people in them are fed up with it. And politically, even if the odds are against him succeeding in getting it passed, current President Moon Jae-in wants to change the constitution to curb presidential power.
Those sorts of reforms, I think, are a good idea. Reinstilling trust, if you like, in the presidency itself, irrespective of the occupant of the post, is really important. Even if he does get it through, of course, it won't affect his term because he will be bound by the existing rules. So it would be only laying the foundation for a subsequent president. Park Geun-hye herself was interested in making these changes. In the past, it's been very common for both conservatives and, it has to be said, progressives to use the Blue House as an opportunity to settle scores against political rivals. So it's quite commonplace when a new president comes to power to use the judiciary, to use the office of the special prosecutor and the judiciary in general to try and bring charges against former occupants. We've seen progressive presidents indicted, former President Noh Moo-hyun, who tragically committed suicide in 2009 in the face of a corruption scandal that threatened to besmirch his reputation, is an example of how the conservatives can sometimes use the court to attack progressive rivals, and progressive rivals have in turn, once they've occupied the presidency, done the same against their conservative rivals. It's important to instill trust, and I think reform, therefore, is a good way forward. But this specific issue of Park Geun-hye remains, I think, a controversial question, and it's too early to say at this stage how this will pan out.
The daughter of assassinated dictator Park Chung-hee, 66-year-old Park Geun-hye, was not in court when the verdict nor the sentence were announced. She refused to attend most of the hearings in protest at being kept in custody. It was the first time a sentencing had been televised in South Korea, despite her having requested privacy that until now has been allowed to others.
More broadly, I think there will be some people in society who may also, even if they're not natural supporters of Park Geun-hye, worry about the appearance that Park is herself being made an example of as a means of sending a message to other conservatives. And there are legitimate questions about natural justice, about whether the sentence fits the crime that she's now been convicted of. It was quite telling that the court decided that the verdict that was handed down would be televised. The argument in favor of that was that the nature of the defendant, the fact that she was a former president, meant that there was a legitimate national interest to see her being convicted in this way. But some people would argue that there is a vindictive streak behind the way in which these sorts of political scores are settled. So I think there may be some pushback, both from her natural supporters and from other people who may have concerns about the way this has been played out.
If Park's lawyers appeal, they'll have until the 13th of April to do so, though Noh Jeon-sung thinks Park's historic fate is sealed.
Her lawyer, state lawyer, said they're going to sue again for the higher court. But I don't think the higher court may be that much different from, there's no chance. I think she's going to win over the whole process.
In the 1990s, former presidents Chun Doo-hwan and Noh Tae-woo were found guilty of treason and corruption, but they were pardoned. Park's conservative predecessor Lee Myung-bak, who saw out his term of office from 2008 to 2013, was jailed last month in a separate corruption investigation and is due to be charged next week. Thank you for listening. From me, Roslyn Hyams, and until next time, goodbye.